Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, senior pastor and Bible teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Greetings. Welcome to Lehem Panim. Today we'll be taking a look at Psalm 51. It reads, "To the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words, and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar." A couple of weeks after hearing a sermon on Psalm 51, about knowing hidden secrets, and then Psalm 52, about lies and deceit, a man wrote the following letter to the IRS. He said, "I've been unable to sleep, knowing that I have cheated on my income tax. I understated my taxable income and have enclosed a check for $150. If I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest." You know, when was the first time in your life that you can remember experiencing feeling guilty about something? I mean, really guilty. Maybe you realized something you did was wrong, or you began to feel guilty for something you already knew was wrong when you were doing it. What emotions came along with that guilt? Maybe a feeling of dirtiness, hopelessness, fear, despair? What did you eventually do to be free of that guilt? Or, I don't know, maybe you're still wrestling with guilt. If so, then I hope this message today will be an encouragement to you. Our passage, Psalm 51, it begins, interestingly, not with verse 1, but with a short comment about what time in the life of David this psalm was written in. It says, "To the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone in to Bathsheba." Now that's a very interesting way to open a psalm, isn't it? I mean, it's very direct. It may seem a little bit too direct for us, especially when we consider that the heading of the psalm, which is pretty graphic in its laying out of David's sin, it was to be read along with the rest of the psalm during worship service in the temple of God. And what's more incredible is that many believe that this superscript was written by none other than David himself. And that may lead us to ask a question: why didn't he, or whoever wrote the psalm, just kind of leave that part out? Why not just focus on the beauty of David's prayer and just kind of skip all that sin stuff? After all, shouldn't we focus on God's grace rather than on sin? And yet what we find when we come to the Bible is that the Bible never glosses over sin. David's sin is not only laid out in detail in 2 Samuel 11 for everybody to read, but is even included in the worship section of the hymn book of Israel, the Psalms, as a constant reminder every time they worshiped of what David had done. And you'll remember what that sin was. David was called a man after God's own heart, and yet at the same time we know he had committed some major, major sins. He had coveted. He had had an affair with another man's wife. He tried to cover up that affair. And when he could not cover up that affair, he murdered the husband, Uriah. And he thought that he had gotten away with it. And, you know, that doesn't sound like a man after God's own heart. I mean, he carefully planned these sins and executed them. And not only does he think he's gotten away with it, but he seems to be pretty comfortable with what he has done. You know, it's easy to judge him. I think we may thank God that we have never done anything like that, murder or whatever. But the truth is that every single one of us has planned and executed sin. And though we confess our sins to God, sometimes we don't even feel like we've done anything that's seriously wrong. And to be honest, I think we live in a culture, even in a church culture, I'm sorry to say, that's very lax on sin. We don't confess our sin to one another, as the Bible commands us to. And we have a plethora of voices ready to make excuses for us, even twisting our understanding of God's grace to kind of let us off the hook, rather than challenging us to live a different way, to dance to the beat of another drummer. Well, because that would be judging. We don't want to go there. And so we have fewer and fewer voices speaking into our lives, challenging us, as the scripture says, to repent and go another way. But what's interesting to me is that David, when confronted with his sin, he does want to repent. He does want to go another way. And so this psalm, it begins not with adoration, not with confession, not with thanksgiving or asking for stuff. It begins with the public exposure of his sin. Why does the Bible, or specifically David, do that? It's because God knows that for the infection to be cleared out, the wound first has to be opened. And God used an external source, the prophet Nathan, to uncover that sin, that adultery, that murder. And this is because sin, it has to be exposed if it's going to be dealt with. And that's what the heading of this psalm does. And then it documents how David feels, what he prays in response to God's judgment. And in this, we see that David truly has a heart that longs to please God. By the way, this is what, in a huge way, separates him from Saul. Though David's sin was worse than Saul's, David's throne is not taken away because David still had that heart that was ready to repent, ready to seek and please God. And that began with the ownership of his sin. Now, I'm a bit of a Star Wars fan. I have been ever since I was a kid. I enjoy the stories of mighty Jedi Knights who use the power of the Force to help bring order to the galaxy. I love wonderful stories. But while I might enjoy the stories, the idea of the Force, if we're going to be honest, is very different from the power that we as Christians know is really behind everything. And it comes out of the false, pagan, Far Eastern religion known as Taoism. That's where the idea of the Force comes from. And I want to explain this to you because it has direct relevance on our concept of sin. The Force, the Qi in Taoism, is the supposed energy behind the universe. But it's not purely good. It has a light side, yes, but it also has a dark side, the yin and the yang in Taoism. And order in the universe is found not in eradicating the dark side, but by finding balance between the two. Now, what this does is it makes evil a necessity in the universe. It makes evil an absolute. Evil has always and must always exist alongside of the good, a belief system we call dualism. Now, the difference in the biblical view of Christianity is that evil is not co-eternal with good. Only God is eternal. Evil is simply turning away from God. Now, what this means for us is that we can no longer blame our sins on our being forced, if I may use that word, to conform to a higher principle of evil. Or say, we sin simply because we're human, which is another way of saying we're slaves to an eternal paradox of good versus evil. The devil didn't make us do it. We're not the victims. Evil is not an all-powerful thing. Rather, we are responsible for our sins. That is the point, and that's what David recognizes in verse 4. He says, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Now, David isn't saying that nobody else was hurt by his sin, but that the root of his sin was found in his own choice to turn his back on the will and presence of God. And in our own walk, in order for us to experience liberation from sin, we have to acknowledge that our sin is our fault and nobody else's. We can't blame God, we can't blame our parents, we can't blame our circumstances or the way in which we are brought up or some all-encompassing evil force in the world. No, it is our sin. David takes ownership of his sin. What's so fascinating is that while David writes in many of his psalms about how faithful he has been before God, and he had been, here, rather than presenting his own faithfulness, which he has violated, he instead casts himself upon the mercy of God. And he trusts in one of God's most important attributes, his steadfast love, which is in Hebrew comes from the Hebrew word hesed, the deepest, most powerful love there is. And he acknowledges his own sinfulness, his filthiness, his uncleanness. And therefore he cries out to God in verse 2 saying, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. He knew he needed something more than just bulls on an altar, 100 bulls on the altar, 100 sacrifices. He needed to truly repent and allow God to wash him clean. And so he says in verse 7, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And so he's admitting that he's tainted, he's soiled, he's unclean, and he can't wash himself. And in verse 2, the word cleanse is a technical term for the cleansing of a leper. Lord, take the leprosy from my soul and make me clean again. And he says, purge me with hyssop, which was something the Israelites did after they came into contact with a dead body. He feels the weight of his sin. And thankfully, we know that God did forgive him of his sin. Though we know that there were still some pretty heavy consequences. And God will forgive anyone who's willing to confess and come to him. Have you experienced that cleansing? Have you allowed God to change your heart? If not, ask for his cleansing today. Confess and be cleansed by him. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.